Hello, hello, hello. This is Larry Goins, and welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls. I hope everybody is doing good. How is everyone today? Come on, I know we got people on the line. Give me a shout out.
We're great.
Awesome. I got one motivated person this morning. That's good. I love it.
Well, you got two, Larry.
All right,
I spoke
good.
To my wife.
Good. Good. That sounds like Ralph.
No, we're brand new. This is Chad and Jeannie Hunter.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're on the call. Welcome.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Well, if you guys are just now joining us, if you're just hopping on, this is a bi-weekly Q&A call. And they're always at 12 noon Eastern time, and it's very informal. I don't feel like I have to mute the lines typically. You know, some days we might have 5 people on, some days we might have 50. It just depends, you know. But usually, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people are on. A lot of people like to listen to the replays. Remember, you can always go in and listen to the replay by logging into the members area. All of our calls are archived except for your one-on-one calls. Those will not be archived for everyone to hear, right? So it's very informal. I just ask if anybody has a question, just be respectful and share and, you know, ask one or two, you know, and then give somebody else a shot and then jump back in. So with that, let's start out. Who would like to ask the first question?
Go ahead, Jeannie.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeannie.
Wow. Like, I feel like I just got pushed in front of the bus. Well, we're pretty new, Larry, so we're going through a lot of the training and stuff. I don't know that I really had a specific question in mind.
Well, I guess kind of tell you what we're doing, Larry. It sounds like we're the ones that are taking up all the time, or your time. I apologize. But what we're doing is...
No, it's all good.
Okay. Well, my wife and I, we've been doing houses and flipping, you know, one or two a year since 2012, I guess. And
good.
So I'm actually in Texas right now fixing up a remodel and a flip and heading back to Arizona tomorrow. And so what we're looking for is... we go back and forth between Montana and Arizona, 6 months up there and 6 months down there. So we're looking for something just like what you have that we can do from our office without having to be in one specific location all the time.
Right. Because you're doing fix and flips, right?
Well, yeah. And we want to get away from that. We want to do the flips without the fix. So
there you go. I love it.
So that's what we're going after. And we're both insurance adjusters. We've been doing it for about 10, 12 years. And so we have a program that we use to kind of go in and see exactly what needs to be done or what it's going to cost to fix up a house, which is the same thing you use as insurance companies to estimate costs and for repairs. And so we're able to go in there and use that system to kind of get an idea of what a remodel is going to cost, you know, without having to guess so much. We're just wanting to do the – be back and forth between Montana and Arizona without having to be in one specific location and keep everything automated and really want that residual income instead of the, you know, buy it, fix it, sell it, and start all over again.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's where we
Well, that's good.
Well,
I'm telling you, if you're doing fix and flips, that's tough. That's tough. You got to, you know, be on top of the contractor, manage it, or be the contractor yourself, and that is tough.
Yep.
Tough. I would much rather be able to shuffle some papers, even though, you know, you might make 25 or 50 or even more, you know, grand in a fix and flip. I would much rather do a couple of, you know, small wholesale deals and make $10,000 or $15,000 on it and not have to leave the office, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're looking for. And also the residual. We also have a couple of properties over in Ohio that we bought on tax liens. One's a duplex, one's a fourplex. That's kind of might have been a mistake. I don't know, but I think we just got to figure out a way to get it sold. But that's what we want to do is just keep this thing automated. And we're both very money motivated. We don't have any kids. We like making money. We love real estate, and we love our freedom. And
that's awesome. So, well, congratulations and welcome aboard. I'm looking forward to working with you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And then we some of the questions we had, you know, I know we were talking about when I was talking to Dean. He said a lot of the, you know, you guys focus on is from Denver East. You know, with us being in Arizona and everything, I know it's a smaller market there. But, you know, are you dealing mainly nowadays strictly HUD homes? Is that kind of the main avenue you go to find these deals? You go and having luck with the realtors too?
Well, we buy HUD homes, and we also buy houses through the MLS that aren't HUD houses. Most of those are bank-owned, but we also do some pay-per-click advertising and a little bit of direct mail that we're going to start doing. We're not doing direct mail this second, but I will tell you, the more competition there is, the more marketing strategies you have to implement, right?
Right.
The more marketing strategies you have to implement. I've been fortunate in the, you know, in the Southeast where I haven't had to do a whole lot of marketing because, you know, there's been a lot of HUD houses, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the MLS, you know, but if you're in, you know, Arizona and, you know, you're in Las Vegas, there's a lot of competition there, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
It's a lot more difficult to do a deal in those areas. A lot more difficult to do a deal in those areas. You've got to do some off market, or you know, I would just about venture to say, unless you're doing some direct mail or some PPC advertising, you're probably getting your deals from wholesalers that are negotiating the deals, and they're doing the direct mail.
We try to stay away from that. We like the house we I'm working on right now in Texas. It was a HUD home, and we just, you know, before we learned your program, we're just lowballing the heck out of them, and you know, we'd either take it or leave it, and they took it. So but we knew the area, so we knew that, you know, even if we have to get a little bit more for it, we can make good money on it. So But another thing we're trying to figure out as far as I know we've had some experience with direct mail. I know we've gotten on to, I think, CoreLogic. Is that what it is, Jeannie?
CoreLogic is a direct mail provider.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're signed up with them and, you know, be able to access all that stuff. And then we've done a couple letter campaigns ourselves. Haven't had any luck, but mainly we were looking at that time for commercial stuff. So it wasn't the residential. And I know more into your program that we got. I know you guys said more about using bandit signs and everything, and we've done that also. But is that kind of the main avenue you're using to sell these properties, to get them out there when you owner finance them, is bandit signs, or are you having luck with Craigslist too?
Well, we do keep ads going on Craigslist. If you look in the Charlotte, North Carolina market, and you go to Real Estate Wanted, and you type in the keyword Gabby, G-A-B-Y, you'll see some of my ads pop up, okay?
Okay.
So we do keep ads going, although we're not getting a ton of leads from it. But, you know, if you get one deal every month or two.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, I agree. Well, and one other gentleman that we worked with also, we had him as a mentor, was Mitch Stevens. You know Mitch Stevens?
Oh, I know Mitch. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He's out of Texas. He does a lot of seller finance stuff.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We started with him, and hell, he only spent maybe 2 hours on the phone with us. Not that he wouldn't spend more time. It's just that, you know, we're kind of self-motivated, and we found a couple deals, and just by putting out bandit signs, and all of a sudden things happened really fast. But the only thing about Mitch's, you know, philosophy is, of course, he lives in a big city in San Antonio, and the way he teaches it is obviously you kind of work somewhat in your backyard, and which is not an option for us since we're 6 months in Montana, 6 months in Arizona. And so we're familiar with owner finance, and we love it. We love the concept, but we love how you're automated. And
that's good.
The direction.
So if you're in a hot market, you know, you just have to learn to get some off-market type properties. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because the hotter the market you're in, the more you gotta market. In fact, I know some guys in Phoenix that are telling me, you know, their average wholesale fee is just a few thousand dollars.
Oh, so, man, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. What about the owner finance? Because that's mainly the, you know, we want that residual income. Are they having luck with owner finance in Arizona? Or, you know, is that kind of a tough go there also because the house is more expensive?
Say that again?
The owner finance is kind of what we're wanting to pursue. You know, get these things bought cheap and get them owner finance so we get that residual income. Do you see that being a good route to go in Arizona, or are the houses too expensive there?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that in Arizona. I mean, if you're going to – I mean, number one, you're not going to be able to find any houses cheap enough where you can get some good mid to high double-digit returns, right?
Okay.
And I don't suggest buying a house and paying $100,000 and then seller financing it for $125,000 or $150,000 or something. You know, I like to try to get a 2 to 3 times, three to six. The cheaper the house, the more times you can, the more of your multiplier. For example, if you buy a house for $10,000, you can sell it for $29,900 or $39,900, right? 3 to 4
right.
times. But if you're buying a house for $30,000, right, a little nicer house, a little nicer area, a little nicer buyer, right? If you're if you're buying it for 30, you could sell it for $69,900, right? $74,900, maybe $79,900. So about 2.5 times, something like that.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, and I was just kind of exploring that being where we're at, but we're willing to go anywhere or do whatever it takes. So we're not tied down to one area. I mean, I'll take money from the East Coast just as I will from the West Coast. So. Wherever
right.
we need to grow our money the fastest is all we're looking for.
There you go. So, that's one of the things that we can help you do. I mean, that's what we do. So there's a lot of things you can do with the seller finance stuff as well, whether it be a cheap house, but stay out of the war zones. But if you already got some stuff in Ohio, you might even want to take that duplex that you have and whatever the other property was. I think you said triplex or something. You might could even turn around and sell it to an investor, get them to put $10,000 or $15,000 down. Now you've lowered your cost, and now you've got not only the tenant paying you, but you got the new owner of the property paying you, and then they've got the tenant paying them. So you're increasing your yield. You're getting some cash out of the deal right now, and you're making better money without the headaches of having tenants. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's already what we kind of started to pursue with this thing. Is looking for investors to take it over and getting off our hands. But
that's good.
Anyways,
that's good.
And what I know you kind of focus on properties that are just outside of the hot market, kind of rural but not rural.
Well, it's not
that
I necessarily focus on those. If you're doing direct mail or you're doing pay per click advertising, stay out of the major MSAs, but go out to the bedroom communities, the smaller towns outside of the MSAs. That's where you're going to really get your bang for your buck as far as your marketing goes, because that way you're not dealing with, like, I'm in the Charlotte MSA, Metropolitan Statistical Area, so I would never do direct mail or pay-per-click advertising in Charlotte. I do it in all the little small surrounding towns outside of Charlotte, right?
Okay. Is there like a radius, like a 30-mile radius or 50-mile radius that,
it's up to you. That's up to you.
Too far? Okay.
That's up to you. Right. You know, I would say driving distance. Typically, it's going to be about 50 miles, you know?
Right, okay.
But that's going to really be up to you. How far are you willing to go?
Right, yeah, okay.
Good.
Well,
good.
I hope that great. Helps. Yeah, no, you bet. That gives us an idea. What we want to do is if we want to get started right away, when we talked to Dean, because we're just really anxious to get this thing off the ground, and I know he told us that we kind of need to wait, actually till, we come meet with you, I believe, in May, and then we can hit the ground running then. But we're just kind of, curious if we could, things that we can do to start, rock and rolling now so we don't have to.
Well, you can start getting on your one-on-one calls with Nathan and stuff, and you guys can get. We are going to go over a lot of stuff here, but you can go ahead and start. You know, I don't know if you have had your first call with Nathan, but you guys can go ahead and start getting a game plan together and running with it. You don't have to wait till you're here, but if you're only talking about, you know, a little over a month away.
Yeah. And so, you bet. And do you have any questions, Janie? I know you had a list, I thought.
While you guys are thinking, let me let some other people jump in here because we got a lot of people on the line. Somebody might.
Oh, we do. I'm sorry.
Questions as well. No, that's okay. It's not a one-on-one. It's usually a small group, but let me just see if anybody else has a question, and then you guys are welcome to jump back in as well. How about that?
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Awesome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
Hey, Larry, this is Tim in Asheville. How are you doing?
Good. How have you been?
Pretty good. I wish the weather was warmer, but we're fine.
Well, it's going to be warmer about the time I leave to go out of town tomorrow night. It's going to start getting warmer toward the end of the week, huh?
That's right.
There you go.
I just wanted to run over one item we're working on, this one particular house, but one thing we have started to do, which you mentioned you have to do more and more advertising now because there are fewer deals, we are using PA 40 hours a week calling FSBOs and vacants and other things.
Uh-huh. And how's that working out?
Well, the FSBOs, she comes in a little high with stuff, but a lot of times it comes through with, yes, we're interested, just make us an offer. And she does come through with a few that are truly ready to go. But it's nice to have, even if it's not perfect, it's nice to have a flow of one or two that are wanting me to call them back, you know.
And right.
Obviously, it's better to want them calling to be called than to be cold calling, you know. So.
Right.
Anyway, of course, we get the usual thing, can't understand her too well and that, but for the money, it's hard to beat. It's this one particular program, and she's in a group, so she does have a manager over her, and they know what they do, and they also advertise stuff after they've gotten it under contract. So anyway, but she found one particular property, and this is what I was wondering about. It's not close to another a large city. It's only 500. There are only 500 there. So I did a lookup of cash buyers, and I found about six in the area that are clustered around this small town.
Right.
But I assume it wouldn't normally be for a cash buyer. This would be for financing, or would you not do it at all, Larry?
Well, The smallest town I remember buying a house in is 900, right? And as long as there's other nearby towns that are larger, you're okay. I'm not really concerned about that at all, and I'll tell you why. Because how many buyers do you need per house? You need one, right?
That's right.
So, yeah. So having said that, with the marketing that you're going to do, I don't even really – promote and push stuff in the small towns to my own buyers list. I put out Craigslist ads. I put out flyers at the convenience stores. I put out bandit signs, about 20, 25 signs around town. Here's a good key. A good point is put them in front of Home Depot and Lowe's. You want the house to be, you know, in addition to population, or really what I should say is probably more important than population, is how close is it to a Walmart, right? That's a good little indicator. You know, if it's 20 minutes to a Walmart, you know, that's okay. But if it's 40 minutes to the next Walmart, you might want to pass on it, right?
Okay.
So you want to be, you know, people want, a lot of people want to be out of the city, but they also want it to be fairly convenient as well, right?
Right, and Walmart's done their demographics, so.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, they know that so, people could be around. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So put out signs in front of Home Depot, in front of Lowe's, in front of Walmart, convenience stores, and even if it's in a small, small town, go over to the next larger town, which there's a lot of people who live probably in that small town of 500, but they might work in the next town over that might have 5 or 10,000, right? So,
yeah.
You know, if it's 10 miles away or whatever, 10 or 15 miles away, drive over there, you know, the next closest one that probably has jobs, right?
Right.
Go over there and put out another 25 signs, right? That's where we sell a lot of our properties, is in the neighboring towns where, you know, they have more population. The people are going to work every day. So do that. I wouldn't be too concerned about the 500 population. As long as it's about 20 minutes from a Walmart or a Lowe's or Home Depot, and there's another town, you know, 10 miles or so away that you can also market to. Because people in the small town, you know, they're used to driving, you know, 20, 30 minutes to work or whatever. I mean, think about it. Like in Charlotte or in Asheville or, you know, even people like in L.A., or wherever, Atlanta, they might drive 45 minutes to work every day, but it's really only 10 miles away, right?
Right.
So they're used to driving a lot. So, you know, 10 or 15 miles away is 10 or 15 minutes in a small town, or maybe 15 or 20 minutes in a small town, right? Because you don't have to deal with all the traffic. So bottom line is, man, I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Okay. Well, and it's a 2,000 square feet for 40,000 that's definitely move in ready. So that
wow.
Yeah.
That's good. And this is one that your VA got a hold of.
That's right. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. Now, is she getting you some other deals as well?
I get a report every single day, and it's anywhere from one to four properties where she's gotten a hold of someone, and they want to talk to me, you know. So,
hey,
that's
not bad. You know, it's a numbers game.
Right, yeah. And like I say, she's about 220 a week for 40 hours, so, and she does have, you know, somebody in the room over her, so they know things are getting done. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. So you're paying her about $550 an hour.
The team.
Does that
so
sound about right?
Yeah.
That's not bad at all, especially for somebody who can get on the phone.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And she works from 10 to 6 every day, Monday through Friday.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we're trying.
Well, good.
Okay.
Good.
Well,
let me know how that goes. I'd be anxious to hear how that deal goes and also how, you know, how she continues to do getting leads for you.
Okay. Sounds good. We're always adjusting to see if we can try other things. The FSBOs are a little pricier, as you know, so
yeah.
You may start sending your probates and things like that, you know.
Yeah, unadvertised properties is typically an easier sell than someone who has already got their property on the market, they've done their research, they've had people call them, you know, realtors call them, all that stuff. An unadvertised property is typically an easier sell than someone who has already marketed or already marketing their property for sale, if that makes sense.
So we'll start adjusting the list. And go from there. So
good.
She'll
good.
Get better, I think.
You know, and another thing you can do too, if you get lists, like you know, you were we were talking about earlier about CoreLogic. You can take a list, say from CoreLogic or list source or whatever the source is, even if it's a direct mail list, you can upload that list to Facebook. You can create a custom audience in Facebook. And then Facebook will look up, and if there are Facebook members of Facebook that have that address, right? It's not the property address. It's the owner of the property's address. Facebook will create a custom audience, and then you can create an ad just for those people, which is much, much, much cheaper than direct mail. However, if you do direct mail to those people, also create a custom audience and do Facebook marketing to them as well, so that way you're hitting them with two different things. They're like, wow, didn't we just get a postcard from this person? And here they are online. They don't know you're targeting them. They're like, wow, these people are everywhere. Maybe we should give them a call, right?
Yeah.
So that's just another way to be able to market your direct mail leads and upload them to Facebook.
Okay. Well, you're talking a little above my head, but I'll figure it out.
Well, where do you have your virtual assistant? Where did you hire them, through Upwork?
No, it was a recommendation of someone that had used them before.
Okay. Now, how do you keep track of their hours and their time?
Well, that's the purpose of it being part of an office, because she has a manager that's over her, and then the owner's over that manager. So
you use like a third-party service that provides the service to real estate investors?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good. I was going to say, if you hired them on your own and not through like Upwork or something, there's a software you can get called HubStaff.com, where they can log in and HubStaff will take screenshots of their computer, and then you just pay them at the end of the day.
Okay.
Or end of the week, I should say.
But
anyway, you know, contact whoever. The reason I brought it up to begin with is so you can reach out to the same VA company and say, hey, do you have anybody that can create a custom audience for me to market to on Facebook and then handle my Facebook marketing for me?
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to know how to do it. You just have to know somebody that knows how to do it.
And I could hire that straight from Upwork.
Yeah, you could hire those people from Fiverr or from Upwork or, you know, any of those sites.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Do you know of any way that you could take a list source, though, and have a company find the phone numbers to go with it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
There are companies out there, and I can't think of any off the top of my head, so I'll just tell you what to search for. There's List Appending Services, APPEND, List Appending Services. And what they'll do is they'll take a direct mail list, and they'll go out there with all the public data, and they'll find their email address and their phone number if it's available. You're probably going to get about 60% of them. You'll be able to get their phone number. Now, they do charge you per record, right, to be able to get that information. It's so much for the phone number and so much for the email address, but that's what it's called, a list appending service. And that way you can give them direct mail, you know, send direct mail. You can put them in your database and send them an email, or you can, you know, give them to your VA to pick up the phone and call them.
Sure. Well, and that would be a Facebook, a direct mail, and a phone call.
And an email address, too.
Well, yeah. And I've thought the best way to start is with an email address, because you beat everybody there by their letters. I mean, you're there.
Well, that's true. There's also you could send them a text message as well. There's services out there. I believe it's called LiveCom, LiveCom.com. And you can upload your list. If you've got a list of phone numbers, upload your list and then have it send them all a text message. And then you can communicate with them through LiveCom. And email has about probably a you know, depending on the list, a 20, 30, 40% open rate, whereas text messaging, you know, that's about a 90% open rate right there, if not more.
Right, right, absolutely. Okay.
So the more ways you can hit them, the better.
And livecom.com is for texting?
That's just one of the services. Yeah, there's just one of the services you could use. There's other ones out there, but just Google text broadcasting, text message marketing, or text message broadcasting. But LiveCom is one I'm familiar with. And
is that like AWeber?
No, AWeber is an email database where you host your emails. That's where you keep all your emails, and then you can send out email blasts to people.
Okay.
That's what AWeber is. We use MailChimp, which is very similar to AWeber.
Okay.
Yep. MailChimp allows you to make really nice-looking emails.
Okay. Well, we'll focus on that instead of AWeber. Okay.
And listen, all of those leads that your VA is all those leads that your VA is getting for you, if you can't do anything with them, put them in your database and put them in a follow-up campaign so they're getting an email and a phone call and a text message from you at least once a month.
And that's the great thing is she definitely gets all emails, phone numbers, and contacts.
Good.
Great.
She needs to be putting them into a CRM, you know, like AWeber or a system like Podio or something like that to be able to follow up with all these people.
Sure. And then it's just an auto messaging system.
Exactly. It's all automated once you get it set up. Yeah, we use Podio for that, but our emails go in to do email blasts. They go into MailChimp, but our Podio, we set up our Podio to be able to follow up people via text message and email, and it's all automated.
Sure. So you only think of it once, and then you don't have to mess with it again.
All you got to do is tag them or subscribe them to a campaign, and then, boom, they get that notification. It all goes out like clockwork.
Good deal. Okay.
There you go. Good. I hope that helps.
Oh, yeah, as always, Larry. Thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, can I?
Anybody else have a question? Yeah.
Totally different one until somebody else has something.
Sure, sure.
What do you think about sending out mass contracts?
Mass contracts? You mean like offer blasters?
Yeah.
I think it depends on who it's going to. If it's going to the realtors, a lot of times they'll treat it like spam. But you know, if you send out an offer and then follow it up with a phone call and a text message, right? Then it has a lot better response to it.
Even to the realtors?
Even to the realtors. In other words, let's say you email the realtor an offer to purchase on one of their listings, and then you shoot them out an email, hey, I just wanted to let you know I sent an offer on one of your listings. I know it's not what they're wanting, but, you know, let's get the negotiating open and started and see if we can put a deal together.
Okay.
And then follow them up with maybe a text message. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I just shot over an offer for you on one of your listings. You know, let me know, you know, if your seller has a counter, let's start some negotiating and get one closed, you know, or something like that. So that works better than just blasting out a lot of offers, which is what a lot of people do. As far as with for sale by owners, I would definitely talk to them first, in my opinion, instead of just blasting out a lot of offers. I would talk to them and then send out an offer to purchase after talking to them. One of the things that actually one of my students told me, which I kind of like the idea, and we're going to start implementing it soon since we're doing more FSBO, or not FSBO, but unadvertised property leads, is he mentioned that it's good to text them the offer, right? So that way you don't go through all the hassle of writing it up and all that. But if you text it to them, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to be mad. Oh, I can't believe, you know. But then they're going to start thinking about it a little bit, right? Well, it is a cash offer. It is closed quick, as is, no commissions. That's the number that's net to us. You know, should we consider it? You know what I mean? So just send them a text, and it's immediate. It's fast. And, you know, they're not going to like it at first, but, hey, they'll get over it and come around a lot of the times. Not every time, but a lot of times.
Well, and I guess you could do that with a realtor because, like you say, 90% of the time they're going to at least see it.
Right, right. And what you can also do is with the realtor in your cover letter, you know, say something along the lines of, you know, I know it's a low offer. You know, it's not meant to make you mad or your agent or your seller mad, but I've been amazed at some of the deals we've closed where the agent said there's no way they'll take this, or, you know, it started out with a number this low. So, you know, just word it, and I'm just talking off the top of my head here, of course, but just word it something like that about, you know, I've been very surprised at some of the offers that have been accepted, and 30 days later, you know, the agent's getting a commission check.
Sure. Okay. Well, I just wondered how that worked because, in a sense, we sort of do mass contracts with HUD. We just do them every day for, you know, however
many. Yeah, it's just online. It's just online offers.
It's not with a real person.
That's right.
So I thought, well, maybe I can pull the MLS, the MLS listings that are possible and just start doing something like that. But I wanted to ask.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Didn't mean to take time.
No, it's okay. It's all good. So anybody else have a question? We've had some good conversations today. This is really good. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? All right, going once, going twice. You guys must be hungry. That's what it is. All right, listen, I really appreciate you guys being on. Thank you so much for your business. Thanks for being on here, and really appreciate it. And just know, you guys could reach out to me anytime in between these calls. You don't have to wait on these calls. If you have a question, you need help with a deal, whatever it is, I am here to help you, whether it's over the phone or by email or whatever. It doesn't really matter. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And for the new people, congratulations and welcome aboard. Make sure you guys join up and sign up on the Facebook group as well for Inner Circle students, and we'll get you approved. And then that way you guys can network with each other as well. We got people on there, you know, encouraging each other, buying and selling properties with each other, borrowing and lending money with each other. So be sure and sign up for the official Larry Goins Inner Circle group. So thanks a lot, everybody. I really appreciate everybody being on today. Hope you guys have a great week, and go out there and make it happen. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Good day.
Thank you. You too. Phone is dead. Yeah, what time is it?
I'm not sure.
15:02. Hello, hello, hello.
What is wrong with my phone here? I don't know what's wrong with my phone. I brought that computer up here because I tried to wipe it just to restore it. Not to restore it, but I tried to wipe it, but then I can't even get it to start up, so I got to have somebody work it up. But whenever I get it done, I'm going to get it to you, okay? Where is my charger? My phone charger. Do I have a phone charger anywhere? I don't know what is happening right now.